Welcome to Made by Women by the Seneca Women Podcast Network and iHeartRadio. At a moment when businesses face some of the biggest challenges in recent history, we bring you inspiring stories, practical insights, and shared learnings to help you successfully navigate in today's environment. Every Thursday, Made by Women will showcase the experiences of legendary women entrepreneurs, fierce up-and-comers, and everyday women who found success their own way. Consider this your real-world MBA, designed for the new now. I'm Kim Azzarelli, and thanks so much for joining us today. COVID has given us all a newfound appreciation for medical professionals. But one company has been putting the needs of healthcare workers first since 2013. FIGS, founded by Trina Spear and Heather Hassan, is transforming medical wear with modern designs, high-quality fabrics, and great customer care. And they're a company built around purpose. FIGS' Threads for Threads initiative donates scrubs to medical professionals in need around the world. No wonder FIGS has made lists like Fast Company's Most Innovative Companies for branding and Inc.'s roster of fast-growing companies. Not bad for an enterprise that started by selling scrubs out of the back of a car. I spoke with Trina Spear about FIGS' mission, method, and challenges. I hope you enjoy our conversation. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So for those who don't know, tell us a little bit about FIGS.
Sure. So FIGS, what we're doing here is we're really looking to empower, celebrate, and serve the healthcare community. We do that in a number of ways, but this was an industry, medical apparel, scrubs, lab coats, everything medical professionals wear to work. It's an industry that's been around for 100 years and really had no change or innovation. And there were two problems, one being the product, and I'm sure everyone's seen it, right? Ill-fitting, uncomfortable, boxy and baggy, and not something that you or I would want to wear to work every day. And the second problem was one where, you know, the distribution model was broken, where, you know, as a medical professional, you're pretty much subjected to going to one of these stores in remote places to, you know, find your scrubs on a rack. And that was the shopping experience. So what we looked to do here was really totally change those dynamics. And in summary, what we've done is we've built a brand around an unbranded industry, decommoditized what many believe was a commodity product. And then I think what we're most proud of is building a community around this profession or helping to bring healthcare professionals together and really look to serve them in any way we can.
This is so incredible and fantastic. I can't wait to learn so much more about the company. But before we get too far ahead on that, tell us a little bit about your own personal background. Did you start with the dream of being an entrepreneur? Tell us about your professional background.
Sure. So I definitely was the kid like selling the lemonade out of the house. So I was always looking, you know, I grew up middle class, but always was looking to have something of my own, I would say. That being said, after college, I went into the world of finance and started my career in investment banking and in private equity at Citigroup, went on to business school, and from there went back into finance at Blackstone in their hedge fund division. So spent about, you know, 6 years on Wall Street before really taking the jump into joining Heather, my co-founder and co-CEO, on this mission and really taking the leap to entrepreneurship.
So what was it like to take this leap? When you started FIGS with Heather Hassan, you were basically selling scrubs out of a car. Tell us about that transition.
Sure. So, you know, when, you know, everyone in my life, my family, my friends, they were like, you're doing really well. You're at Blackstone, Harvard Business School. Like, you're going to do what? You're going to go sell what? You know, people thought I was crazy and really didn't even fully understand, like, scrubs, what's that? How does that work? It was very, I mean, I think now people view what we're doing as obvious, but, you know, 8 years ago, it definitely wasn't that. You know, I left my cush fancy job at Blackstone and flew across the country to LA. And Heather, who's very much a creative product genius and had really come up with the concept for the product and for the distribution model, she said, okay, this is what we do. We go in my car, we sell scrubs out of my car at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. when all the doctors and nurses and medical professionals change shifts. And I was like, okay, let's do this. So that's what we would do at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. We had, you know, a few thousand sets in the back of her car, and we would sell scrubs. And the funny thing about that was actually that that was a better experience than what they were, how they were shopping before that.
Wow.
Even selling scrubs out of our car was a better experience than going to one of these stores in a strip mall where there was racks and racks and racks of clothing, and they're selling bedpans and knee braces in the same place you're buying your scrubs.
Yeah.
At least we were there with an amazing product that people were really excited about. And that's how we really kicked it off.
And then you made the transition to e-commerce. How did you make this leap, and what were the challenges you faced early on?
To be fair, we had the websites at the same time we were selling out of the car. And it was really to, you know, when you start a company, as you know, right, you're trying to get as much information as possible, really understanding the needs and the wants of your consumer, your customer. And so that's what we were doing when we were selling out of the car. But also, you know, Heather, even before we met, was like moonlighting as a nurse within cafeterias, trying to understand what people want and how they move and all of that. And so, but you know, our website, was really important, right? Because it enabled us to really get people their scrubs when they need it, right? You're working 12-hour shifts. And when you're not working, you're with your family, and you're, you know, to have to go hunt for medical apparel at odd hours at retail locations that are out of the way, that oftentimes closed at 5 p.m. Let's say you're working the night shift, you're working at 2 a.m., you need your scrubs. Having an e-commerce site that you could just go to get your scrubs was just something that didn't exist, which just seems crazy now.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it wasn't just that it was simple and convenient and easy. It was that this was necessary. It's so critical for healthcare professionals to get their uniforms so they can go do their jobs. This was essential, more essential than just, oh, e-commerce is easier to shop on. It was just that much more of a necessity given what our people, our healthcare professionals do every day.
Yeah, it's so amazing to think that not that many years ago, there was no e-commerce platform for this. Kind of amazing. So you take the leap. Obviously, you believe in Heather and you believe in the idea. You take the leap and you see some early success, and then you start going for funding. What lessons did you learn about trying to scale and trying to raise capital?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like I said early on, people didn't understand what we were doing. And now it seems obvious, but then it definitely was not obvious. And especially for investors, right? Like, they're not the customer. They're not healthcare professionals. They didn't understand the pain point. They didn't understand the industry. So it was challenging. It was challenging at the beginning to really have people understand what we were doing. And we got a lot of no's, and we got a lot of people that, you know, weren't excited about the industry, weren't excited about the business model. But, you know, that's really what drove us to work through that and craft our story and really help people understand how important this community was and how underserved they were. You know, it wasn't just even an underserved community, it was an unserved community.
Right.
The products were just so inferior to what even athletes were wearing. And, you know, we could talk about that. That was the aha moment of saying, you know, all of these billion-dollar companies, they're so focused on the athlete. What about the people saving lives?
Yeah.
What about the people caring for patients? What about the people curing diseases? What about them? And who's focused on them? And we were going to be that company, and we are that company that wakes up every single day to support this community. So the challenges we faced along the way were, you know, definitely the funding piece, but also, you know, production. It's easy to make one thing. It's a lot harder to make millions of that one thing. So that's been something that, you know, has been a challenge as we've scaled. We're such perfectionists. Quality is everything. And how do you ensure that your standards, your level of quality, which is we're the highest quality medical apparel company in the world. How do we maintain that quality even as we're scaling so rapidly?
So let's dig into that for a minute, because that does seem to be on the minds of a lot of entrepreneurs who are really focused on perfecting their product, but then taking that next leap. I mean, how are you doing that?
Yeah, I mean, I think you just really need to have great teams. I mean, we have the best team in the world. I couldn't imagine. You know, I always thought leaving Wall Street, I'll never work with smarter, more talented people. I was wrong. our team at Biggs is, you know, the most passionate, the smartest, most caring people that I've ever worked with in my life. And I think that's what it's about, right? Because we're so mission driven, because we care so much about this community, we don't let things fall through the cracks. And we are on top of every single aspect of this business. And so quality control, having teams, you know, all over Asia and South America, wherever we're producing, to ensure that at every step of our supply chain, there is a check. There's a check and balance to everything that we're doing so that we can keep our promise, keep our brand promise to our customers so that quality never is less than the standards we put in place.
We'll be back with Seneca's Made by Women after this short break. I know that can't be easy. I mean, with every entrepreneurial journey, and we're seeing this, and as we talk to more people on the show, there's those really dark moments, right, where it feels like this might not work, or it might not be possible, or as you said earlier, you just hear no after no after no. How do you deal with those dark moments?
I think, well, first off, I'm a very optimistic person. You kind of have to be. And I have a very short memory, which is actually good.
That is a great, great thing.
You know, Heather has a joke that she calls me torso forward. I never look back, right? You can't. You kind of have to just keep moving forward. And there's always setbacks. There's always challenges. There are always reasons. There are always reasons to not want to do something, because there's always risks in what you're doing. And you can't let that define how you move forward, how you make decisions, how you show up for your community, which our healthcare community, they're the best people in the world. They're the smartest people in the world. They're the ones actually making our society work right now. If we're not showing up for them, and we take that on and we take that responsibility very seriously, if we're not showing up for them, and we're getting down on something that didn't work over here, you know, this, you know, getting upset about something that wasn't perfect over there, you know, you could just get handcuffed, right? And you can't do that. You just got to focus on the big picture and on who you're serving and how you're showing up in the world, and let that be your North Star, and let that drive you.
Well, what you're doing, as you said, for this community, which is really the backbone of our society, could not be more important in this last year when everyone started to recognize what healthcare workers were doing for us. So during COVID, I can't even imagine how important your work became. How did FIGS pivot, and how did you help fill the PPE gap?
It was the craziest year for everybody. But I think what we saw, and it's about like a year ago now, since this pandemic hit us in the US, at least.
Yeah, it's like the 1 year anniversary today, I think.
Yeah, which is nuts. And I think when the pandemic hit us, all of our healthcare professionals were calling us and asking us if we had masks. And, you know, now it's like a given, right? Everyone has a mask. Everyone, you know, most medical professionals have what they need at this point. But if you remember back a year ago, that wasn't the case. And our healthcare professionals on the front lines were taking their paper mask, washing it in a sink, reusing it over and over. And they were being asked to go out in this, you know, horrible pandemic and put their own lives at risk. And that was crazy to us. And we felt actually like, wow, how don't we have this for our people? How don't we have, at the time, N95 masks, right? And then it became, we have to get them everything they need. And we just turned complete 180 with our supply chain, got the right partners on board. We made KN95 masks. We got those to our customers. We made isolation gowns, hazmat suits. We produced our own Phion X mask so that in our medical professionals were wearing those over their N95 masks, so they were as protected as possible. Face shields. We just actually launched our face shield recently, which is incredible. But it was, how can we get them what they need as fast as possible and kind of get around a lot of the red tape? There was a lot of red tape, right? The government red tape, the hospitals weren't able to get them what they needed. And so we were just, how can we get them what we need? At one point, we launched KN95s on our site. If you came to our site, you didn't even have to buy anything. All you had to do is click and get that and get the mask. We were just finding any way we could to get them what they need. And that was our number one priority and still is our number one priority through this pandemic. So it was about PPE. It was about getting them as obviously we had scrubs, but we pushed our production to high gear so we could get them even more and ensure that they got what they needed when they needed it. And then we obviously donating through our Threads for Threads initiative is a huge part of what we do. So we donated 70,000 scrubs through the KN95 mask thing. We donated another 6,000 of those. We donated 100,000 isolation gowns. So this was a huge team effort. I'm so proud of this team that we were able to navigate through, get our people, our healthcare professionals, what they needed as best we could. But this is a challenge to today, and we're going to continue to show up and, you know, as best we can.
So the other amazing thing that you guys do, and you've, as you said, you've built mission into the center of your strategy from the beginning, and it was only really just highlighted during COVID, but your Threads for Threads initiative, can you tell us about that and why you built that into the mission of your company?
Sure. So Threads for Threads actually started before FIGS formally started. Heather Hassan, my co-founder, she was in Africa and she's, you know, donated uniforms. And before she, before we were donating scrubs, she was actually donating school uniforms to kids who couldn't, you know, they just wouldn't go to school if they didn't have a uniform. And so that was the, you know, the predated what we do now. But she was in one of these schools and she went over to this clinic and she saw a little boy and this doctor was cutting open his head. And she was looking in this, what they call a theater. It's like an operating room. She was looking in this theater and she sees that the doctor is wearing dirty jeans and a t-shirt. And she thought, oh my God. And he didn't even have gloves on.
Wow.
And she said, how are you operating without the equipment or the uniform so that you could do your job safely? And they didn't have any scrubs. And so that was the impetus for Threads for Threads, where she got, this was even before meeting with her friend over coffee, which, you know, really started the idea for FIGS. She produced scrubs for this clinic in Kenya and realized through that experience that there's a huge need for clean scrubs around the world. And that healthcare professionals, many of them are operating without the proper uniform to do their jobs. And then there was another part of it that, you know, many imagine going through all these years of schooling to become a nurse and, for instance, in never having a set of scrubs that tell the world this is who I am and what I do as a symbol of your profession. And so that was a huge source of pride for many people who never received a set of scrubs, who've never worn one, and be able to have that was a huge part of the mission as well. So to this day, now we've donated hundreds of thousands of sets of scrubs to healthcare professionals in need around the world. And it's a very important part of what we do every day here.
Amazing. So what is next for FIGS? Can I even say that? It seems like you are so present and you're helping so much, but do you have a vision for the future for FIGS that's different from today?
I think at the heart of it, our healthcare community, what even this pandemic has done is had just shown a light, right? Everyone's now clapping at 7 p.m. The world is focused on these people. And actually that's died down a bit. And our job is to ensure that celebrating and empowering the healthcare community, that doesn't go away, right? We are that company that will stand by our healthcare professionals as they go out to do their work. And that will never change. I mean, that is who we are. So the future is about developing, creating products they need so they can do their job. You know, it is about function. It's about design. It's about comfort, so that you feel the best, your best self when you go to work every day. And then connection. How do we help the community connect even with each other? You know, coming out of this pandemic, and you know, a lot of people are now talking about it, the mental health side of it, and for everybody, right? Being in isolation, being quarantined, it's affected all of us, but it's also affected our healthcare community that, you know, the amount of tragedy they've seen, right? And who can they talk to? Who are they connecting with to get through this? They don't want to talk to their families because, you know, they don't want to put that on them. And so how do we now as a company help in that way as well? And we're working on a number of initiatives on that front. And so there's so much. There's so much work to do to show up for our people in all the different ways that we can. And so that's where we're focused. And then, you know, I would say e-commerce is evolving and changing. And it's not just about, oh, shopping, right? It's about how you have one-to-one connections with people at scale. So personalization, and that's something that it's really about tailoring an experience for every individual because everybody's different. So that's a really exciting piece as well that we're focused.
So I guess my last question is for women out there and men who are thinking about starting their own ventures, their own companies, what do you wish you had known early on?
Oh man, so many things. I wouldn't be able to do this again. You're so naive. You know, there's like this crazy thing. It's like, if you don't know the wall is there, you can walk through it. I think that's just like our story, right? Like if you don't know the wall is in front of you, you could walk through it. So I think there's so many things that passion and drive and caring about people that has driven this company. It's almost like strategy, you know, it's like a culture eats strategy for breakfast. I think, you know, the culture of Figs, how we show up in the world, what we do every day is really what drives us. But your question was, what do I wish I knew? I don't know. That's a thing, right? If I knew all the things, then we probably wouldn't have done it this way. And then we wouldn't be where we are and we wouldn't be able to show up in the way we show up. Because if you know too much, actually, and you think about that, I'm sure there's studies about this. Like if you know too many things, it actually, you talk yourself out of doing a lot of things, right?
So
you're
true.
Almost too smart for your own good. So, because we probably wouldn't have started this company. Because you know how many people said, oh, the industry doesn't work that way. They're not going to do that in that way. And when you're really redefining something from scratch and changing behaviors and restructuring products and bringing things to the world that have never been created before, most experts look at that and say, oh, well, that's not going to work. And, you know, that's such a boring way to live.
So true. So true. That's something we see all the time too. Even when we just launched this credit card, you know, people are like, a credit card that puts women first and rewards you from shopping from women-owned business, that's never going to work. You know, and of course, like it's all those breakthrough innovations that, I mean, that's the history of an entrepreneurship, right? Everyone's always like, that would never work. And then of course, you know, it's the total breakthrough and you've done it. So we thank you for what you've done for healthcare professionals. And as I told you earlier, before we started, you know, a friend of mine, I was at the dental office the other day, and when she saw Figs, she's like, oh, Figs. So obviously you're bringing a lot of joy to a lot of people's lives in addition to making it possible for them to work in safe environments. So we thank you for that.
Oh, thank you so much, Kim. And this has been awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
I'd like to thank Trina for sharing her story about finding success with Figs. Here are three things I took from the conversation. First, meet your customers where they're at. Figs did that literally. Trina told us that when she and her co-founder, Heather Hassan, first sold scrubs out of their car, they were able to talk to medical professionals directly and to learn exactly what the market was missing. Second, crafting your story is critical to business success. Trina and Heather initially had a tough time raising capital because potential investors didn't understand the customer. After the co-founders honed their story and showed how underserved the market really was, they got the funding they needed. Finally, thriving as an entrepreneur is all about having a short memory. As Trina says, she never looks back. There are always setbacks, but you can't let them define you or over-influence how you make your decisions. Just keep moving forward and you can reach that goal. Made by Women is brought to you by the Seneca Women Podcast Network and iHeartRadio with support from founding partner P&G.